Okay, the kids are already asking what's for dinner. But breaking news, empty fridge. That's okay. I'll Instacart. Let's add some organic asparagus and some farm fresh chicken. Easy. Wait, is the oldest vegetarian this week, or was it gluten-free? Gluten-free pasta. Covered either way. Cart it. And finally, some vegetarian gluten-free olives for my well-earned cocktail. When your family's shopping list has more footnotes than groceries, the world is your cart. Visit Instacart.com or download the app and get free delivery on your first order. Offer valid for a limited time. Minimum order $10. Delivery subject to availability. Additional terms apply.
Kevin Matt talks with Matt Hardy.
There's nothing like a wrestling fan, you know, for better or for worse. How do you handle that, though? We're talking about people talking about your family, what they don't know about your family or your brother or you. How does one handle that from a day-to-day basis?
Something I joke about with the Young Bucks all the time. I said, if you would vanity search Matt Hardy on Twitter, I said, after you got through 100 replies, you'd want to quit the business and never be seen again. It's just, you just learn to deal with it. You know what I mean?
It's the Kick Rocks Wrestling Podcast with Evan T. Mac. Subscribe now on the Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcast.
The veteran who's played in more postseason games than any other Chief, tied with Travis Kelce. Townsend will hold it. 11 seconds left in Super Bowl 57, 35-35 tie. The kick is good, and Kansas City leads 38-35 with 8 seconds to go in regulation in Super Bowl 57.
Harrison Butker with a little mini redemption in the middle of the Super Bowl, right? Loses, I would say, some of that swag that he walks out there on the field with because his earlier field goal that would have given the Chiefs a lead in the first half of the Super Bowl does not go through the uprights. Instead, it's a doink loud enough to be picked up on the cameras, picked up on the microphones. If you need to hear a doink, well, they replayed it multiple times. But later in the game, 8 seconds to go, as a matter of fact, with plenty of time to think about it, the Chiefs kicker is able to hit a 25-yard field goal that puts the Chiefs in front with just 8 seconds remaining. And we work our way backward from there. Congratulations to the Kansas City Chiefs. A second Super Bowl win, a second Vince Lombardi trophy in 4 seasons. And there is no doubt that Patrick Mahomes is the MVP. There is no doubt that as much as the Chiefs get so much attention for their offense, and they should, the quarterback had a record number of yards from scrimmage this year. Travis Kelce is one of the best ever. Those two, plus the offensive coaching staff and that offensive line, rebuilt after a Super Bowl disappointment 2 seasons ago. They deserve a ton of credit. All of the accolades you can throw at them, because it's a whole new group of receivers and a rookie running back. Actually, think about it. 2 Chiefs rookies scored touchdowns in this game. But as much as we could talk about the offense scoring on every possession in the second half, it is not fair. I know life is not fair. It is not fair to overlook the defense. It is not fair. It may not be a team that you point to and say, oh yeah, the defense can win games for them. Maybe that's not what you think of. But I am continually impressed with the big game mentality and the big play mentality of the Kansas City Chiefs defense. Welcome to CBS Sports Radio and the After Hours Super Bowl postgame show. I know it makes me sound old, but this is my 11th Super Bowl postgame show here on CBS Sports Radio, launching forward into a new decade. As the Chiefs earn another Vince Lombardi trophy, we've got all the huge moments from the game, courtesy of Merrill Reese, the Eagles radio play-by-play voice, Mitch Holtis, who you just heard on Chiefs radio, and then our friend Kevin Harlan calling yet another Super Bowl for Westwood One. It is hard to believe another season is in the rearview mirror. But the confetti, well, it's in places where confetti shouldn't be. They got a lot of cleaning up to do there in Glendale and some questions to answer about the field, actually. We'll talk about that as we get to some of the ancillary details. We're going to throw a post up on our social media because, oh heavens, we didn't do enough social media last week. A fill in the blank to wrap up this 2022 NFL season. Super Bowl 57 was what? You fill in the blank. You can find me on Twitter, A-Law Radio. We'll put up a post on our show Twitter, After Hours CBS, and then also on our Facebook page. Really good to hear from so many of you over the course of the weekend and really last week as we put up 6 videos. I don't know what I was thinking. I may never do that again, but 6 videos. Poor producer Jay got lost in his video editor all hours of the day and night last week, but we had 6 very different videos with 6 very different subjects surrounding Super Bowl 57 and Super Bowl week. We're proud of that. I hope that you enjoyed your Super Bowl Sunday. And again, thanks so much for your support of our guests last week where we went quality over quantity and our foray into YouTube influencers. I never want to be that thing ever, ever. Finally, we got to the game and man, I was just ready. I was ready for the game to kick off. I spent most of the day, once I got home from church, I spent most of the day in the kitchen. I was writing, I was cooking, I was baking. I didn't want to get anywhere near the TV until it was time for the pregame festivities, but they were worth it. I took a bunch of notes actually during the pregame, and this year I smartened up and I took notes about the commercials because often, as I'm watching them, something will spark and then I will forget which ones I liked or I'll forget when they aired or who was in them or even what product they were hawking. So this year, I went ahead and took notes on the commercials as well. I know I'm a total irredeemable nerd, but it helps me to keep everything organized. And yes, I have 3 pages of notes or 3 note cards, 5x7. I chose blue for the occasion because it felt neutral to me. It wasn't Eagles green. It wasn't Kansas City Chiefs red. It was just plain old blue. I know Chiefs fans are blue. Actually, Chiefs fans are angry. I've had a bunch of them tell me to shut up on social media. Let me guess. You're drunk and depressed and looking for someone to blame. Oh, you never failed to disappoint social media. All right, so find me on Twitter or on Facebook if you want to talk about the game. Yay. Here's what you will not hear on this edition of After Hours. Me blaming the refs for making a call that was a by-the-book flag in the fourth quarter. Can I just insert this reminder before we start talking about the actual game? By telling the refs to, and the phrase is swallow their whistles. In this case, it's swallow their flags. By telling the officials and the referee to ignore fouls or violations in the fourth quarter, you are in fact asking them to exercise bias. If you would call it in the first quarter, then you have to call it in the fourth quarter. Otherwise, you are asking them to be aware of time and situation and score. Officials are not supposed to make calls based on time or situation or score. They're not supposed to make calls or not make calls based on who has the ball, how much time is left in the clock, and whether or not it's a tie game. A foul is a foul is a foul is a foul. And if you expect them to make it in the first quarter, or if these same officials would make that call in the first quarter, you can't ask them to ignore it in the fourth quarter just because there's less time left on the clock. By asking them to be aware of score and time, you're asking them to exercise bias. You're asking them to keep the flag in their pockets or keep the flag in their hands and not throw it because of who has the ball and how much time is left on the clock. That would be a lack of integrity. I don't know what more you need to hear. James Bradbury says it's a foul. We could see very clearly there was a handful of jersey and an arm around the left side of the back. Mike Pereira says it's a foul. It's a foul. If the official swallows his whistle, then you know what? He's showing bias in favor of the Eagles. I know you don't need me to remind you, but these things even out. The officials are damn near perfect, but of course they miss calls every game. There was a missed call earlier where an Eagles defender had a handful of jersey and it wasn't called. Again, by asking the officials to take note of how much time is left on the clock and not throw a flag because of that, you're asking them to put aside their training, to exercise bias, and that's a lack of integrity. And just for kicks and giggles, at what point should we start doing that with the refs, right? At 5 minutes to go in the fourth quarter, no more calling flags. At 4 minutes to go in the fourth quarter, no more throwing the yellow flags. Is that how it works? No, of course not. I get that you don't like it. And I understand it would have been more dramatic to see the Eagles get the ball back with under a minute to go and see what they could do. And I know it fits your narrative to assume the Eagles would have driven the field and had the tying field goal. But you can't assume that. Also, remember when the knock on Andy Reid is that he did not know how to manage the clock in close and late situations? Huh. I guess that's out the window. No, it wasn't a dramatic finish where the Eagles have the ball and they're driving. Isaiah Pacheco falls down at the 1 yard line. The Chiefs do exactly what the Eagles would have done in that situation, which is run out the clock and kick the field goal. I get it. The flag, it wasn't the narrative that you wanted, but is it why the Eagles lost the Super Bowl? Hell no. And it's not why the Chiefs won either. So there, I addressed it. The officials, they were doing their jobs. And honestly, there were very few flags in this game. I thought it was great. I thought we got to see the best of these two teams. We got to see adjustments at halftime. We got to see the best teams in the NFL settle the game on the field. We got to see Jalen Hurts and Patrick Mahomes, the other stars on offense. And actually, we need to be talking a heck of a lot more about the two offensive lines. Do you know these were the top two teams in terms of sacks this season? And there was one sack in the Super Bowl. And it wasn't even a sack that took place with a defender actually knocking down the quarterback. Oh, two. Sorry, there were two sacks. There were two sacks in the game that didn't take place until late. But they weren't even the kind where the quarterback gets flattened. Nah, they weren't even those kind of sacks. One of them was a coverage sack. So give credit to the offensive lines for these two teams. I think it's worth noting again that 2 years ago when the Chiefs were embarrassed by the Buccaneers defense, when Patrick Mahomes had a terrible Super Bowl performance because he was running for his life the entire time, when the Chiefs' offensive line was exposed, they rebuilt that line. Five new guys on the offensive line for the 2021 season. And look at them now. 158 yards rushing. Actually, that's not even the game that Kansas City puts out there. And against one of the best defenses in the NFL, against the Eagles and that defensive front, they rush for 158 yards. Keep in mind, by the way, the Chiefs barely had the ball for 8 minutes in the first half. Isn't that insane? 8 minutes in the first half. Plus 14 minutes time of possession for the Eagles in the first half. And they had a 10-point lead. Anybody remember how the Chiefs were down 10 points to the Niners in their first Super Bowl win? So not only is it two Super Bowl wins in 4 years for Andy Reid and Kansas City, but in both, they've had to rally from 10 points down in the second half. Confidence very often comes with experience. Cool and poise and calm under pressure very often comes with the fact that you're comfortable in situations where others would be feeling the pressure. The Chiefs don't. I'm not saying they're perfect. Heck no. But this group of guys, the core group, they've changed the secondary. They've changed a bunch of their receivers. But the core guys who set the tone, they've got so much experience. It reminds me of the Golden State Warriors. They're as close, as impervious to pressure as you can be in these situations. And so they fight and scratch and claw back in. They score on every possession in the second half. And we get a 3-point margin of victory for the Chiefs on a field goal with 8 seconds to go. Not sure what more you could ask for. So we're going to take a break and then we're going to dive in, start from the beginning. Well, start from the beginning of the game. I'll get to my pregame observations, my halftime, and my commercial observations a little bit later in the show. But even as the postgame reaction is still pouring in, want to make sure we get you everything you need to be informed and also entertained. So find us on Twitter, After Hours CBS. Super Bowl 57 was what? It's another Vince Lombardi trophy for the Chiefs. Hashtag Captain Obvious. Our phone number, 855-212-4227. That's 855-212-4CBS. Just getting started. Thrilled to be hosting another Super Bowl postgame show here on After Hours on CBS Sports Radio.
You are listening to the After Hours podcast. The Philadelphia Eagles, the Kansas City Chiefs. This is After Hours with Amy Lawrence.
Super Bowl 57 in Glendale, Arizona, featuring two teams that did have Super Bowl wins in the last 5 years. So we're not talking fresh blood here. No sentimental favorite, I would say, in this game. Just the two best teams all season long, both with records of 16-3, the exact same number of points scored this season. Both with phenomenal quarterbacks who were NFL MVP finalists, though Patrick Mahomes ends up winning that award on Thursday night. Both with very prolific offenses and defenses that would have to step up to the challenge. Now, the Eagles got a lot more attention for their defense, notably because they had four defensive linemen who had at least 10 sacks, right? So they were used to getting pressure on the quarterback by only bringing pressure from their front four. They'd been so good at it all season long, tough and physical, and I would say generally able to wreak havoc and win those individual battles along the line enough to be able to drop the rest of their guys or use the rest of their guys in coverage without having to send, for the most part, send defenders to corral the quarterback. They were among the best in the league, pretty much every position. And what do we see initially? That ball control mentality. Now, Philadelphia does it by being aggressive and by trying to pick up chunk yardage, even on the first downs. And their game plan worked to perfection in that first half. It's After Hours with Amy Lawrence on CBS Sports Radio. You can find our show Twitter, After Hours CBS. We're asking you to fill in the blank. I can't believe it's over. Another season is done. But yes, with it behind us, fill in the blank. Super Bowl 57 was what? Philly really kept that ball moving on the first drive. And again, right away, you could see what the game plan was. Be aggressive, but keep that ball in our possession. 11 plays, including 6 first downs, and they go 75 yards on the opening drive. After the Chiefs warmed up, they cooled down, just sitting around waiting for the Eagles to score on that opening possession.
Oh, they're in the rugby scrum. It's a quarterback sneak on first and goal. A flag thrown. Hurts is shoved from behind. Pushed across the goal line. Scoring there. But let's see the flag. It looks to be on the Chiefs. With 5 minutes gone in the first, a game-opening drive by the Eagles. The Eagles have had an opening drive touchdown in all 3 of their postseason games this year.
Not to mention that was their 10th rushing touchdown of the postseason. Remember, That was their 8th. Excuse me. They had 4 against the Giants and 3 in the NFC Championship game. And so that was their 8th. They ultimately would end up with 10, but adding to their haul in this postseason. But Kansas City answers, and it's really funny, too, because social media, I was following on Twitter, blows up with the, oh, buckle up. This is going to be one heck of a track meet. It certainly felt like that on the first 2 possessions. The Chiefs get 2 long receptions by Travis Kelce. And so that becomes the narrative. You want everybody to settle down. You've got a bunch of receivers outside of Kelce who have not played in the Super Bowl. You've got rookies out there. What you want everybody to do is take a breath and settle and not be so hyped up and full of adrenaline that they make mistakes. So what do? Well, you use Travis Kelce because this stage is not too big for him. And for Mahomes to be able to use not just his favorite target, but to be able to use him in different ways. If you need to run him out wide like a wide receiver, send him downfield into the corner of the end zone, well, he can do that too.
Mahomes in the pocket, floats a pass near side. Kelce over the shoulder. He's got the catch. He's got the touchdown. Kansas City, a beautifully thrown ball as Mahomes to Kelce, 18 yards. Officially, and the 14th time that Patrick Mahomes has found Travis Kelce for a postseason touchdown, 2nd in National Football League history.
Were you guys watching when, I think it was Greg Olson who was talking about the preparation of Nick Sirianni and his defensive coaching staff and how they tried throughout the week, well, the 2 weeks leading up to this game, they tried to simulate Travis Kelce with their practice squad. But nothing that they put on paper was actually what he was doing.
Build the beast.
The fact is that Travis Kelce makes it up as he goes along. And honestly, he adjusts to Patrick Mahomes. They very often, and we've heard them talk about this before, they'll come up with something unique in the huddle. They will go backyard style, if you will. And Kelce, he'll make up routes. And so whether he's, well, he's never really your typical tight end, but whether he's running a route that they've seen before or whether he's just going to an open space and believing that Patrick Mahomes is going to drop the ball into him when he's got a mismatch, that's the beauty of their relationship. I tell you, they're one of the best married couples in sports. They finish each other's sentences. They know each other inside and out. So, yes, a streaking Travis Kelce over the top of the safety Epps for an 18-yard score that ties the game. And we're at 7-7 after the first quarter. Why? Because, well, Harrison Butker had his embarrassing moment on the Super Bowl stage.
Waiting for the go sign is Townsend. Good snap by Winchester. Swinging the right leg through is Butker.
Oh!
And the kick is no good. He misses it wide left. And the Chiefs lose their opportunity to take the lead. And the score stays 7-7. And the Eagles will take over at the point of the missed kick.
I'm not laughing at Harrison Butker. I'm laughing because it wasn't even a doink. The camera and was so, well, the camera and the microphones, they were so close to be able to pick up the noise. It was more of a clang.
Good snap by Winchester. Swinging the right leg through is Butker. And the kick is no good.
As someone someone who digs audio and sound effects, that's got to be one of my favorites. But, of course, Harrison Butker is crushed. That's his opportunity to give the Chiefs the lead in the first quarter. It doesn't happen. And as I say, we're tied after one. Now, with the ball early in the second quarter, right away, we saw the Eagles go back to the aggressive approach. They are a team that has many weapons, and while they do want to control the ball and they can run you to death most of the time, they also went out and traded for AJ Brown in the offseason with the Titans. He felt like he was disrespected in Tennessee, but not in Philadelphia, where he quickly became the number one wide receiver.
First and 10, first play of the second quarter. The snap goes to Hurts. He fakes the handoff, has time, lines up, long pass, far side, caught over the shoulder. Touchdown, Brown! Far side! Touchdown, Eagles! A.J. Brown! 45-yard strike!
That's Kevin Harlan on Westwood One, and I hope you don't mind. We're mixing up the various voices just because it sounds so cool to go from the Chiefs radio network to the Eagles, and then, of course, to our friend Kevin Harlan. So, yes, that touchdown made it 14-7, and it's crazy, right, because we see the physical tone that the Eagles set with the Jalen Hurts and the quarterback sneaks, and honestly, we didn't see a whole lot of the other running backs for the Philadelphia Eagles. We saw, a healthy mix of them, but not any long back-breaking runs. That was left to Jalen Hurts. But Kenneth Gainwell, Miles Sanders, Boston Scott, they each had a few opportunities. It was mostly Jalen. I mean, that's what we saw when it came to that that running element. But they want to use the run to set up the pass. And they certainly can create mismatches because of the size and the speed of their receivers. Whether it's A.J. Brown, whether it's Devontae Smith, whether it's Dallas Goedert. Boy, did we see some really impressive moments for their tight end. And so it's 14-7 after that touchdown, and then a three and out by Kansas City. This is where you start to see the tide turn in the first half. As soon as that three and out happens, Philadelphia, it's almost like they clicked into a different gear, more that killer instinct. So Philly is on the move again, and this might have been the only mistake the Eagles made in the first half.
Spread set. Hurts by himself in the backfield. Threat to run and throw. Crouches down. He wants to run it. The ball's out. He kicks the ball. It's picked up by Kansas City. They're going to the 20, to the 10, to the 5. Touchdown, Kansas City. A defensive score by Nick Bolton.
I still can't get over the fact that at that point in the game, at that point in the second quarter, the Chiefs, first of all, it felt like Patrick Mahomes hadn't touched the football in an hour, but the Chiefs had barely had the possession on offense for 7 minutes, and the game is tied. That's the crazy thing about football, really sports in general, is that sometimes the stats and the numbers do not tell the story. And in this case, you would never have believed that the Eagles were dominating the football and dominating time of possession in what was a tie game. So yeah, Nick Bolton, huge performance for him on the Super Bowl stage. And actually, did you see how the ball bounced right up to him? Sometimes that never happens. That thing is a slippery little sucker. You can have 17 guys jump on it and somehow it squirts out the side, a hole through somebody's legs. But in this particular case, as Jalen Hurts drops the football, and really it just slipped out of his hand, he drops the football and it bounces perfectly to a Nick Bolton who never breaks stride and is able to go all the way into the end zone for a 36-yard fumble return for the touchdown that tied the score. And then did you notice, if you weren't stuffing your face with your second round of dip or wings and pizza, did you notice that Jalen Hurts got back out on the field like a man on a mission? I don't necessarily believe this is the right play, although it worked, but it seemed like he was not going to share the football with anyone else on that drive. It was Jalen or it was nothing when they got the ball back. But they did get the ball back. And he has a couple of really impressive moves that remind you why this guy not only has become the leader of one of the top teams in the NFL, but why he's got people raving about him. His leadership, his vision, his ability to see the play unfold and know what's called for in that moment.
Kansas City would be getting great field position. Let's see if they can pick it up. Fourth and five. Hurts in the gun. Hurts back. He's going to run the quarterback draw, and he is going to get it. 40, 35, 30, 25, 20. Great call.
Great call? Is that what you're saying now? It's a great call.
Great call.
Kansas City 4, first and goal. Eagles tied 14 just before the two-minute warning. In the shotgun is Hurts. 12th play of this Eagle drive. Shotgun snap. Hurts will run. Got a block from the guard. He runs in. Touchdown. The Eagles have taken the lead late in the first half in Super Bowl 57.
I'm telling you, Jalen was a man on a mission on that drive. Before halftime, he had the rushing attempt on fourth and five. He goes 28 yards. Actually, had another rushing attempt that went 14 yards on that drive. So two long runs that picked up first downs. Plus, he scrambles in untouched for the four-yard TD, courtesy of a nice block by his center, Jason Kelce. And at that point, Jalen already has three touchdowns in the first half. Merrill Reese on Eagles Radio, and then Kevin Harlan on Westwood One. There's a moment that scared a lot of people there late inside the final 2 minutes of the first half. It's on a third down, and Mahomes is trying to move around. He's trying to get away from a defender. He gets dragged down way short of the first down marker, but of greater concern than them having to punt the ball back is that his ankle gets wrenched sideways on a tackle by TJ Edwards. And the second that he stands up, he can't put pressure on that right foot, the one that had the high ankle sprain. He limps off in tons of pain. He's grimacing. You don't see how bad it is until he gets to the bench and takes off his helmet. And then he's trying to do everything he can to hold in the screams of pain. Puts his head down on, I guess it was an athletic trainer who was sitting next to him, or a doctor who was sitting next to him. And so that was a really concerning moment where it looked like that high ankle sprain may finally come back to bite him in the rear end. Philadelphia, meanwhile, is able to go the other way and get more points before the half. Jake Elliott with a 35-yard field goal. And if you were looking at social media, there are a lot of people who are burying the Chiefs at this point. And it did not look good. Did you know the Chiefs were 0 for 3 on third downs in the first half? I'm not sure what's more stunning, the fact that they were 0-for on third down conversions or that they only had three opportunities. I don't know when that happened the last time, but Philadelphia was plus 14 minutes in time of possession in the first half, more than doubled up the Chiefs in total yardage, 17 first downs to 6 for Kansas City. And as I say, KC is 0-for-3 on third downs in the first half. The Eagles 6-for-10. It was an overwhelming performance for the Eagles before the break. But they don't hand out the Vince Lombardi trophy after one half. Stop it. All right, we'll get to the second half coming up. You can find me on Twitter, A-Law Radio, asking you to fill in the blank. The Super Bowl or Super Bowl 57 was what? And then on our Facebook page, too, our phone number, 855-212-4227.
You are listening to the After Hours Podcast.
The Chiefs have yet to convert a third down. They're 0-for-3, and the Eagles are 3-for-3. Chiefs have an eye set, but they have got Sky Moore. They're going to hand it off to Jerick McKinnon inside. He's at the 45. He lined up at fullback and gets out to the 48-yard line, gaining 14 yards. McKinnon sneaky. There was Sky Moore was the tailback, and the fullback was Jerick McKinnon, and he gets it on a trap play for 14 yards and a Chiefs first down. They hand it off. Left guard. It goes. Touchdown, Kansas City. Isaiah Pacheco blasting in behind the block of Joe Tooney, the left guard, and the Chiefs get a badly needed touchdown drive on this first drive of the third quarter at 9:30 to go, third quarter.
off the field, on the money, and after hours. It's time to talk football with Amy Lawrence.
It was a positive start out of the halftime locker room for the Kansas City Chiefs. Now, remember, they won the coin flip and deferred, right? They actually gave the Eagles the ball to begin the game, and it did hurt them. It came back to bite them because the Eagles had such a long drive, and it was really the start of them being able to dominate the ball in time of possession and put 24 points on the board in the first half. One more stat I'll throw at you before we pick up in the second half. The Chiefs had 20 total offensive plays in the first half. The Eagles had 17 first downs. That's, again, how lopsided the first half was. And the Chiefs found themselves in a 10-point hole. It's After Hours with Amy Lawrence on CBS Sports Radio. The Chiefs come out of that halftime locker room with a 75-yard drive. Lots of different weapons involved. So Patrick Mahomes spreading the ball around. He also has a 14-yard scramble in the red zone. And ultimately, it's Isaiah Pacheco who has the one-yard touchdown run. Now, on the next Philadelphia drive, so their first possession of the second half, we see a couple of mistakes, right? Not the type of mistakes that you would think, uh-oh, they're unraveling, they're coming apart. Oh, no, this is the turning point. It wasn't that drastic. But with the game just separated now by 3 points, you had two drops by Eagles wide receivers. And then you had the Dallas Goedert catch on third down, which kind of offered some redemption and brought them back to even though it was reviewed. A 3rd and 14 after a delay of game against the Eagles on this drive. And Jalen Hurts is able to find Goddard on the right sideline. It's a juggling catch. It kind of glances off his helmet as he's leaping up between two defenders. They went back, they reviewed it. They determined that his left foot was on, how do I remember this thing? This detail. His left foot was on the ground as he re-secures the football, and then he drags his right foot before he went out of bounds. So after looking at it, they give the Eagles the first down. So the Chiefs fail to get off the field. The Chiefs defense fails to get off the field despite having a 3rd and 14. Then you have a quarterback sneak by Jalen Hurts on 4th down. So once again, it's a relentless drive. It's a relentless possession where the Eagles generally wear down opposing defenses. They have another delay of game, though. And Kansas City is able to then tighten up on D and force the field goal. At this point, with Jake Elliott's 33-yarder, by the way, that was the 17th play of the drive. The 17th play of the drive. That means it's a 6-point advantage for the Eagles. So it's 27-21 when the Chiefs see the ball again, and you could see the rhythm. It was carried over from that opening drive of the second half, more like what you expect from the Chiefs. And actually, this drive carries into the early seconds of the fourth quarter.
They're going to throw a quick pass to Tony. He's got it on the edge. He will walk into the end zone. Touchdown, Kansas City. Kadarius Tony on a pick route to the near side. Couldn't be more wide open. A 5-yard touchdown pass from Mahomes. And now Butker can give the Chiefs the first lead of the game.
Kadarius Tony, the former Giant who's familiar with the Eagles, didn't do much of that with New York, but definitely found a niche with the Kansas City Chiefs. That's Mitch Holtis on Chiefs Radio. So yeah, that rhythm, they pick up where they left off, even though, again, they were forced to sit on the sidelines as an offense for quite a long time. But there's a couple of catches in there by Juju Smith-Schuster, Isaiah Pacheco with some gritty runs. G-R-I-T-T-Y, not G-R-I-D-D-Y. And it's Kadarius Toney who finishes off that drive with a 5-yard touchdown reception. And it was kind of cool. And I know they went over this on the Fox broadcast with Greg Olson, but Toney, with some misdirection, cuts in. The defense thinks he's going across or is going to run a slant, and he stops on a dime and bam, goes back to the right side of the end zone. And the defense is so faked out that he's completely all alone. And that's the misdirection, the motion that Andy Reid and Eric Bieniemy like to use. So it's the first lead of the game for the Kansas City Chiefs, which is crazy, right? 28-27 in the fourth quarter, and also first deficit of this postseason for the Philadelphia Eagles. That's how dominant they have been. But then they go three and out. And maybe we should call the fourth quarter the Kadarius Toney quarter of the Super Bowl.
Seabass will punt and sends it down the middle, looking into the lights. It was retrieved at the 30-yard line by Kadarius Toney. He dances and breaks a tackle, runs laterally on the 35. Blockers ahead, the near side, 40. Blocker at the 50, on the near sideline, the 40. Getting a block at the 30, down the near sideline, the 20. He gets another block at the 10. He spins to the 5. This kid's electric. All gas, no break. Down to the 5. Down to the 5.
And the center of the field with McKinnon, the running back. A fast left side, wide open, Sky Moore, touchdown! Kansas City on a pivot route, and Kansas City has a chance now to get up by 8 points on a 4-yard touchdown pass. Mahomes to Sky Moore. Did not have a TD in the regular season. He's got one now.
That's what I mean about those rookies, the young players, Sky Moore, Isaiah Pacheco, but it's Kadarius Toney, not even a full season with the Chiefs, who sets that up. Longest punt return in Super Bowl history, believe it or not, just shy of a touchdown. But the Eagles are able to answer right back.
He is back. He is going deep. He's got Devontae Smith, and Devontae Smith is out of bounds at the one. Out of bounds at the one. They line up. They push, they sneak, and they're in for the touchdown. No, let's say yes.
They are.
They are. They are no. In for yes. The touchdown.
No. Yes. Sanders off his left hip. He gets the ball. He'll run it himself. The 5 to the near side. Got a block. Spins. Dives. He got in. The 2-point conversion. He touches the gold end zone. Gets it in and ties the game at 35.
I was fired up there. 35-35 with 5 minutes to go in Super Bowl 57. Exactly what we wanted. So, yeah, you could see the quicker pace with the Eagles on that drive when they're down by 8 points, right? They need not just the touchdown, which they get from Jalen Hurts after a deep shot to Devontae Smith, but they also need the 2-point conversion. Did that line us up perfectly? Final 5 minutes of the Super Bowl. We hit it next. After Hours with Amy Lawrence on CBS Sports Radio.